Well, welcome along to Fundamental Baptist Fellowship today. Today is the 24th of December 2023, and this is a Christmas message today called God in the Manger. God in the Manger. And we're looking at the deity of Christ as is found in the scripture here. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God, born in Bethlehem, pre-existent, uncreated, eternal creator. So let's join together in prayer today. Father, we thank you for the truth of the God in the manger. Pray you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, remind us, work on us. Help us to understand. Help us, Lord, to see the true light of the word today, brightly shining in Jesus' name. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ by the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem is the glorious, indisputable, undeniable, irrefutable, unquestionable truth that Jesus, the eternal God, became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16 describes the incarnation as the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is eternally pre-existent. He was never created. He exists outside of time. When the universe was created, or the universes as they say today were created, Jesus Christ was already existing. The Bible calls Jesus the Word, and the Word became flesh in John chapter 1 verse 14. Also, Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, the Bible refers to all three of the Godhead as God. The Bible says the Father, Jehovah, is God. The Bible says the Son, Jesus, is God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is God. They're all God, the Godhead. Around 700 BC, a Jewish prophet named Isaiah made a prophecy. We read, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," Isaiah 7:14. 700 years later, an angel appeared to Joseph, espoused or engaged to Mary, and said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't the Bible exactly correct? A little earlier, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing of the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God." The prophet Isaiah described this Holy One 700 years before he was born in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And God raised up another prophet, Micah, around 730 BC, who told us that this Holy One shall be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, in Micah 5:12. And we read in Matthew 1:20-25 that Mary's espoused husband, Joseph, was upset when he discovered Mary was pregnant and it wasn't his child. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This child to be born was a very special child. Amen. No other child like it. For this child was the eternal Son of God. This is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 1:1-3. Jesus is the eternal God. He's the second person of the Godhead of the Trinity. And so the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential. Do you know it's a non-negotiable tenet of the Christian faith? A person cannot be born again and saved from the penalty of their sins unless they believe that Jesus is God incarnate. Every true believer accepts that Jesus is God. Cults seem to have many verses to deny the deity of Christ. So as we study the incarnation of Christ today, we find a number of reasons why Jesus is God in the Bible. In fact, there are several lines of biblical evidence that flow through the Bible to prove conclusively that Jesus is God. There are at least six categories of evidence that we're going to look at today. Six major reasons that prove without question that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God incarnate. The first evidence are the direct statements of Scripture that affirm that Jesus is God. And there are many of them. In fact, I found 19 that refer to Jesus being God. I'm going to just refer to a couple of them today. And the one that I read out to you was John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's another one in John 8:58. And John 8:58, we look at that today, and with John 8:58 we come across I've got the reference right. John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." I am is the Old Testament name for Jehovah. I am. John 8:58. And quite a few times in the Bible, he's referred to as the I am. Calls himself the I am in many other places. I didn't write them all down, but there's numerous other places where he refers to himself as the I am. It's from Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 in the Old Testament. He is the name of God, the eternal I am. And you might remember in John 20:28, Thomas called Jesus, after the resurrection, "My Lord and my God." Amen. In Colossians 2:9, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour." 1 Timothy 2:3, God our Saviour. First Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Jesus is God. Titus chapter 2, Titus 2:13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." Amen. Hebrews 1:8 is probably the strongest of all verses in the Bible. It cannot be argued by the cults. They can't stand it because their Bible reads this way. Okay? This is the strongest individual conclusive verse in the Bible that Jesus is God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Do you see how that proves it so conclusively? It says, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne. God the Father's saying to God the Son, Thy throne, O God. Jehovah's saying to God the Son, O God, your God. Isn't it glorious? And you know, many of the cults, when they're asked about this, they quote the verse, they go, oh, I don't know, I'll have to check up on that one. Okay? God the Father calling God the Son, God. Jesus is God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And look at verse, that these three are one, and look, that's a Trinity, and look in verse 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So Jesus is God. So his titles, the direct statements of Scripture, not his titles, but the direct statements of Scripture refer to Jesus as being God. The second reason that Jesus is God is the titles or names given to him are also given to the Father. Now, we referred to the I Am in John 8:58, and I'll just go back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God, the Father, said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover, unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And the great I am is God, and Jesus is called the great I am in John chapter 8, verse 58 and 24 as well. Another title that proves that Jesus is God in the Old Testament is Habakkuk. If you look at Habakkuk, Habakkuk and chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. Habakkuk chapter 1, prophets in the Old Testament, you've got Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Chapter 1 of Habakkuk, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord thy God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thou tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he. And just turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, we've been going through that in the book of Revelation recently. That's where we're up to. And in Revelation 19, And in verse 6, referring to Jesus, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." He is Almighty God. And then he is referred to as a shepherd as well. We know in John 10, 14, he is the good shepherd, isn't he? The shepherd of the sheep. Well, in Psalm chapter 80, there's a lot of verses to look up today. We'll just look up a few, and what we'll do is I'll name the others, and you could also look them up later on when you listen to the message again, if you wanted to. Psalm 80, verse 1. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." So God the Father is referred to as a shepherd, and so is John 10, 14, God the Son. He's referred to as the first and the last in Isaiah 44, 6 and Revelation 1, 17 and 18. He's called the Holy One, Isaiah 43, 15 and Acts 3, 14. He's called the Saviour in Isaiah 43, 11. And Luke 2:11 and Titus 3:13, the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's a Redeemer, Isaiah 41:14, and Psalm 19:14. He's the rock in Psalm 18, verse 31. That's what he's called, the rock. And in 1 Corinthians 10:4, he's referred to the rock as well. He's called the light in Psalm 27:1, and in John 8:12, he's the light of the world. He's the Lord of Lords in Deuteronomy 10:17, and in Revelation 19:16, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what's written on his vesture when he comes back with the saints to earth. The Lord of Glory, Psalm 24:10 and 1 Corinthians 2:8, is called the Lord of Glory. So these titles or names given to Jesus are given to God the Father. God the Father's called those names. Jesus Christ is called those names. So, direct statements of Scripture affirm that Jesus is God. The titles given to God the Father and God the Son are the same. Number three, Jesus had the natural attributes that are unique to God alone. Now, when you talk about the attributes of God, there's two. There's the incommunicable attributes. They're what they call natural attributes that only God can have. And there's ones called communicable, ones that are shared with human beings, or moral attributes. God doesn't share all his attributes with his children. The ones that he does share are ones like love, peace, righteousness, joy, forgiveness. Every believer has those attributes. But we're looking today at those unique only to God, and only God has these. Only God in the Bible is referred to as eternal. Christ is eternal. In Micah 5:2 and Isaiah 9:6, he's eternal. He's omnipresent. In Psalm 139, verse 7, he's everywhere. In Matthew 18:20, he's omnipresent, present everywhere. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing. Psalm 147, verse 5 and John 21:17. So we know that the Bible refers to God, Jesus, as having attributes that only he can do. Only Christ can be eternal. Only Christ can be present anywhere and everywhere at all times. Only God can be omniscient, all-knowing. Only God can be all-powerful. All these refer to God's qualities. Only God is unchanging, amen? Only God is immutable, unchanging. Malachi 3:6 and Hebrews 13:8. Only God is unsearchable, inscrutable, transcendent. You can't fully comprehend. Only God can't be fully comprehended. Romans 11:33 and Ephesians 3:8. And only God is sinless. Amen? Only God is perfectly holy. Deuteronomy 32:4 and John 14:6. Those verses about all-powerful, omnipotent, Genesis 17:1 and Revelation 1:8. So when you're looking those up, you can look up those verses and see that Jesus had the incommunicable attributes that are unique to God alone. Only God has those. John Piper, in his book, Answers Book, if you ever get that book, it's quite good. It's a list of facts about the Bible. And he lists 120 characteristics that are both of God the Father and God the Son. And they're similar in 120 different ways. And I've got the whole lot listed here. There's a numerous number of attributes. These attributes are jointly owned by the Father and the Son and nobody else. It's incredible, isn't it? Number four, Jesus does the works that only God can do. Amen? I mean, who else can create all things? John 1:3. Who else sustains a creation? Hebrews 1:3. Who else raises the dead? John 5:21. And Christ rose from the dead himself. Who else forgives sin? Mark 2:10. Who else performs miracles showing his power over nature? He stilled the storms. He cast out demons. He healed blind people. He healed the lame. But who else was able to do that every single time to anyone at any time? All who came to him were healed. Who else correctly foretells the future without an error? Only God. You know, the prophecies regarding Christ in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament. There are 332 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in Christ alone. 332. So Jesus does the works that only God can do. Jesus had the natural, incommunicable attributes that only God alone has. Jesus has the titles or names given to him that are the same as the ones given to God the Father. And the direct statements of Scripture affirm directly that Jesus is God. So how much more proof do we need that Jesus is God, amen? And not only that, but Jesus received worship and accepted it. Look over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 9. Matthew 28. This is after the resurrection. And the women there were told to go back and tell the disciples. And on the way they met Jesus. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So he accepted worship, didn't he? Because he's God. Look over there in, I think, John chapter 9, verse 28. John 9:28. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are not." Oh, sorry, that's not the right reference there. John, is that John 9:28? John 9:28. It doesn't look like that's the right reference there. I think it's to do with the blind man, but that's not the right reference. John 9. "We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." And the man answered and said unto him, "Why, herein is a marvellous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And so it's a proof there that Jesus, of course, was accepting worship. And it came, goes further on and says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh to thee. And he said unto him, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Yeah, that just proves that he's God, and he accepted worship. Now, Jesus received worship even though he taught that only God is to be worshipped. And that's interesting. In Matthew 4:10, he taught them that only God should be worshipped, and he accepted worship himself. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The temptation in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And the Bible says holy men and angels refused worship. Okay? Others wouldn't take it from them. Look at, if you remember, I won't look up the verse, if you remember in Acts 10, Cornelius fell at Peter's feet and Peter rebuked him. He said, I'm but a man. That was in Acts chapter 10. And John fell at the angel's feet to adore him in Revelation 19:10. If you look up that, Revelation 19:10, John fell at the angel's feet there, an angel's feet, and began to worship him. And this is the angel's response when John did that. John 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, this is the angel, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. They wouldn't accept worship. Worship God. Jesus received worship and accepted it. And there were other references, Matthew 14:33 and Matthew 8 verse 2 as well. So we have Jesus had the natural incommunicable attributes of God. The titles or names given to him and God the Father are the same. Direct statements of Scripture affirm that Jesus is God. Also, we have Jesus does the works that only God can do. Jesus received worship and accepted it. And the last category, number 6, Jesus received prayer, which is only to be addressed to God. Look up John 14. Look up John 14. Verse 13 and 14. John 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In Jesus' name. That's Jesus saying that. I will do it. He received prayer, which is only to be addressed to God. People pray, the believers today pray, to the Father in the name of Jesus when they pray, when we pray. Acts chapter 7. Another proof that Jesus received prayer that only God can. Acts 7, verse 59 and 60. And this is Stephen being stoned. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my sight. And he kneeled. John, is it? Acts 7? Yeah. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:59-60. And calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So there you go. It's a proof there that the prayer was received by the Lord Jesus as God. That's another one, isn't it? And in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, 1 John 5, 13 to 15. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So it's just prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you pray to him, you'll have your prayers answered, those who believe on the name of the Son of God. And so Jesus received prayer, which is only to be addressed to God. You know, all these six evidences prove conclusively that Jesus is God. He's the eternal, uncreated, second person of the Trinity, who received a body of flesh when he was born in Bethlehem by the Virgin Mary. The eternal Son of God became the Son of Man, so that by faith in him, many may become sons of God. Amen. What a blessing it is to know and to sing Christmas carols at Christmas. All of them teach the deity of Christ. I was so excited to sing them in the street yesterday. Amen. Let's close with the Christmas carol, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, number 101. 101.